abundance of grace.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
Zero, we are on the air, Miguel.
Don't call me Zero.
What was that? What was that movie? Don't call me Shirley.
That was Airport.
Airport. Yeah. Airplane.
The Leslie Nielsen.
Very good.
Yeah. He was the one that was the one line. Of the funniest movies ever made.
Yep. As we were just doing the reminiscing out here about various different things that when one thought comes up, it brings up another one.
Yes.
You know, and that's one of them, but. 1-888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place. You don't have to dial one if you got a cell phone, which we all know by now. 888-221-8990. This is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech. Very few of the legitimate team is here. The only one that showed the legitimate team, Michael Polis, mortgage broker.
Well, I wouldn't let you down, Joe.
Thank you. Yeah, well, you have, but it's not a big deal.
Well, he meant today.
Just so you know, we started doing these radio shows back in 2004.
Well, we have a date now.
We have a season. We know we did them just before Francis and Jean, the hurricanes. Mm-hmm. So that's easy to remember that. Were you living here then?
Oh, yeah.
Then you remember those because you were worried about your boat.
I had just taken my shutters down from Francis, and then like 2 days later I had to put them up for Jean.
For Jean, yep, mm-hmm. Yep. I was
and I have a scar shaped like a J to remind me of that.
See,
when the shutter hit me in the knee and cut me open.
Some things you're never gonna. Yeah, those steel shutters, they're vicious.
Yes. Yeah. Very sharp.
Yeah. Anyway,
because I was too cheap to put on the good shutters.
Well, hey, I thought those were wonderful. Except after you put them up, you realize then the worst thing is if you don't have them numbered perfectly and you take them down. And they're not in the right order, mm-hmm. Putting them up the second time gets exciting.
Yes. Well.
Have you done that one?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
They just, when I built the house, they had just changed the building code. And I now had to put shutters on the house. And the choices were like a $4,000 package for the manual, corrugated steel.
Oh, yeah.
Or $40,000 for the roll downs. I mean, I don't think that.
That didn't compute.
No. I could pay somebody. A long time to put those shutters up.
Last house I had up on Indian River Drive, we rebuilt the house, and I put in folding ones that were metal, mm-hmm. and decorative, that were really nice, cost a ton of money, but good looking. And, you know, and I didn't have to install them, except we had a big picture window in the front. They didn't fold, you know, they're just shutters on the side. So they would fold, and then I had to put two or three in the middle. Mm-hmm. Don't do that twice either.
Well, now they have those cloth ones. They're like, yeah, like I saw Kevlar. That. I would like to look into that.
Out at Sailfish Point, they've got quite a few of those. A lot of houses have these cloth, and they must be legitimate because, hey, those people out there don't spare bucks normally.
I don't think that they would cut me.
Wait, hey, paper cuts? Could be cloth
could
cuts.
Could be cloth cuts, yeah.
Back in '04, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, who, by the way, was on our morning show today. So Alan and I got, you know, we don't talk politics on this show, but we did talk to him this morning, and poor Greg, you know, he was double-teamed by Alan and I, but we forgave him because after he allowed Alabama to lose that football game, which for those of you that don't know, Greg Fasula graduated from Alabama, and we've never forgiven him for that. So when that offshoot team called Clemson beat him.
Yeah. What was that quarterback's name?
I forget. You know what the name?
He was fabulous.
Oh, man. Well, you know, when a guy, when somebody beats the best team in the game,
yeah,
like quarterback is always going to, he's got to be superb.
But like last May, he was back in high school.
Yeah.
He's a freshman. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing player. Yeah.
Well, he's destined, hopefully, for him, for greatness in that, because, yeah, you know, injuries sneak in on these guys because that's a high-risk occupation, to put it mildly. Anyway, back in '04, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, Joe Martek, financial advisor, started doing radio shows, and the concept was there was three different areas of expertise that we could help people and answer questions for them. And then over a period of time, we added Mike Powell as mortgage broker, especially when the last recession hit. We had all kinds of fake news, as far as that's about as nice as thing I can say about it, because there was no mortgage money available, right, Mike?
Right. They were fun times.
but there was always mortgage money available, but then the rules changed. You had to actually be able to qualify. Mm-hmm. You had to show that you could actually make the payment. What a new concept.
And qualifications didn't exactly mean, or limited to, like having a pulse.
Yeah, before that, yeah. You could fog a mirror and that was all. Exactly. You didn't even have to have a pause, long exactly. Your last breath worked, right?
Yeah. Now you actually have to document your income and document where all the money came from for the down payment, have a decent credit. Not perfect credit, but decent credit.
Well, you got to be at least in the high fives normally, right?
Yeah.
Sixes, sevens
are
really
bad. Strange. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, they'll see these lower credit scores and they'll just instantly think that they don't qualify. But, you know, the truth is FHA doesn't require a credit score. It doesn't have a minimum credit score. It's these the lenders that put self-imposed limitations on those. So, really, we can help you with an FHA loan all the way down to about 540 credit score.
See, what happens, this is another thing that's important that Mike does, and everybody in our group is an independent, meaning we don't all house together, we don't share office space, we don't share commissions or fees, we don't work in a big organization where we answer to somebody. And the reason I say independent, how important that is, because we're not told what to do. Now, if you work for a bank, you're told what to do. Here's our rules, and you stay within those rules, or you don't have a job anymore.
Yeah, and more importantly, they only have one set of rules.
Yeah.
So they, you know, when you're dealing with an independent agent like me, you know, we deal with many different lenders, so we have a lot of different programs, a lot of different guidelines, and so if we can help you, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a loan anywhere.
Well, the key is this. Now, let's go say Mike can't help you today. Mike will say, okay, here's your problem. Here's what you need to do to correct that problem, and maybe 6 months or a year from now, you'll be back in a position if you follow this guideline that you lay out for him. Am I right?
Yep, absolutely. You know, you might not be in a situation where you can qualify for a mortgage today, because maybe you're just out of school, you have limited credit, but you know, we can pull the credit report, we can point you in the right direction, and if you follow the rules and you do what we say, then chances are you'll be ready to purchase in as little as 6 months.
Yep. So the key thing is this, and especially first-time buyers, they don't know, they don't have the experience, mm-hmm. but even people that have bought a home, let's say parents, they forget. You might have had got a loan 20 years ago or 10 years ago. They don't. The rules are not the same then as they are now.
No, so, they're not going to be the same tomorrow either.
No, exactly. So nothing is nothing stays the same. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way life works. So mm-hmm. bottom line is, just for those of you that don't know, there are mortgages available that have no money down. VA, USDA, no money down.
If you're eligible for VA loans, that is the best type of financing out there.
FHA is what, 3.5 minimum?
Yeah, just 3.5% down. Now, there are closing costs and escrows that you have to put up as well. But, you know, you can negotiate that in your contract when you're financing.
Get the
house.
Seller to pay those?
You can ask the seller to pay. Now, okay, you're probably not going to be able to successfully negotiate the price of the house down and get closing costs.
Exactly.
But if you go in with a fairly close to full price offer, you can probably negotiate where they'll pay your closing costs.
There you go. So anyway, the whole concept that Mike does, and then we bring in Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who you guys work hand in glove.
Yeah.
Counseling people basically is really the job, making sure they know what they can and cannot do. There's nothing like somebody walking in the door that wants a $500,000 house, but it's only going to qualify for a $250,000 house. So
yeah, and she's one of the most knowledgeable realtors out there.
Yep.
I mean, she's been doing this forever.
She also, you know, I Victoria doesn't have an arrogant bone in her body. If she had one, she lost it. She can't even find it. But a few years ago, she came in and she goes, Joe, I'm one of the top 100 realtors in the state of Florida. And I said, really? She goes, yeah, out of 100,000, I'm one of the top 100. And I said, Vic, there's not 100,000 REMAX agents in Stewart. I mean, in Florida. She goes, are you sure? Vic, that's the whole world. And I mean, the whole world. It isn't just the United States.
Well, but, you know, there's so many part-time realtors out there.
Of course.
And you can, I could tell them, you know, as soon as I start a conversation with them, Victoria is knowledgeable. She knows, you know, about short sales, foreclosures, you know, how to market your house, how to present it. I mean, she's just a wealth of information.
Well, she also, that's all she does. And she's been doing it since the 80s. So, yeah. I mean, this is a couple of years now. 80s. Who's got math here? We can handle it. Anyway.
You got me for math.
I got you for math. Then back to Vince Rizzino, CPA. Well, boy, oh boy, now all of a sudden, this guy is going to earn his keep this year because all the changes in the tax code and all the new questions have come up. And, I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. And people walk in thinking they know what they did 2 years ago and what's going to happen this year. Ain't the same. Mm-hmm. But, hey, Vince isn't here today, and normally he is. I imagine he's either real busy or busier than real.
Well, but, I know he was dealing with a couple of clients I sent him today, so he was probably had his hands full with them.
There you go. 1-888-221-8990. Okay, class, this is important. You're supposed to write this number down, keep it next to the phone, because you never know when you're going to want to talk to us. Remember this. We got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. We got Greg Fasula, attorney. We got Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word, independent. Got Joe Martek, financial advisor. Got Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, and Vince Rizzino, CPA. And Vince is not, when I say not just an ordinary CPA, that I'm not trying to negate what a CPA is, but he's recognized by the court system as a forensic, which is an expert witness. He was also a college professor, so his credentials are pretty strong.
What a knowledgeable guy. I can tell you firsthand that he saved me a ton of money in taxes just by introducing me to that individual 401k program.
Yeah, the solo 401k.
Yeah.
Yep. 888-221-8990. All right, counsel. And we have a guest member, which is hiding over in the corner, not sleeping today. This is good. Alan.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
We on the morning show this morning were talking about people going into nursing homes and how the government takes assets to pay for Medicaid and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a reverse mortgage,
he's trying to find a way. He's planning on going in.
Can you have both a husband and wife on the reverse mortgage?
Sure.
Okay.
And not only that, let's say, Alan, that you know you're over 62, but let's say you marry a 40-year-old, you can both still be on that mortgage or that reverse mortgage, and you would both qualify for the mortgage.
And wait,
only one of the owners, of the borrowers.
That's a new rule.
Yeah, it's been around for a few years now.
I thought you both it was based on the youngest borrower, the percentage.
Well, listen, it depends on what program you're looking at. But 90% of these reverse mortgages out there are FHA-backed.
Right, government-backed.
Yeah, and what happened was a few years back, they came out with these startling statistics that there were so many foreclosures and defaults on reverse mortgages. And I'm scratching my head saying, how can there be a default on a reverse mortgage? There's no payments to be made.
Right.
Well, what happens is you still have to pay the taxes, you still have to pay the insurance, you still have to maintain the property. And there is a little rule in there that says you can only have a reverse mortgage as long as you're occupying that property as your primary residence.
Exactly.
So what happened is when people, you know, when one of the borrowers maybe, you know, got older and had to move out of the property, maybe had to get into assisted living facilities, or maybe they had to live with family, then, it would obviously have to be repaid. So a lot of these properties went into foreclosure as a result of that. Or maybe they didn't pay their taxes because they didn't budget properly. Well, what happens is if one of the main borrower, if they're the only person on the loan and they were the ones who were responsible for the loan and they defaulted on the loan and had to go into foreclosure, then the non-borrowing spouse would be homeless. So that raised a lot of bad press. So as a result, they now allow non-borrowing spouses to be on the loan, even if you're not 62 years old. Now they go. Now the calculation, how much they'll lend you, is based on the youngest borrower. So you have one person that's 65, one borrower that's 58. They're going to go by the 50 age of the 58 borrower, and they're going to reduce the loan to value a little bit.
Well, you stay with that for a second. Let's say one's 70, one's 50.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're only going to go on the 50.
Correct.
What percentage is normal based on
I'd have to calculate that out because it's not really a normal transaction.
Is it 40%, 20%, 30%, 90%?
It would probably be in the 40% range.
Yeah. Okay. Because I know if you're up, both of you are over 62, say 65 to 70.
It's closer to 50%.
Closer to 50%. Yeah.
Right.
If you're 104, they give you 90, right?
Well, let's take it back a little bit because most of our listeners probably don't know how a reverse mortgage works.
Right.
First of all, reverse mortgage is typically for people that are over 62. Like I said, at least one of the borrowers has to be 62. The older you are, the more we lend. So at age 70, 75, we're going to lend you a little bit more than if you were 62. But if you were 75 and you're married to a 50-year-old, we're going to go by the 50-year-old's calculations because chances are that's going to be the surviving spouse.
Sure.
And they'll probably be in that loan for a long time. So we're not going to lend quite as much on that particular scenario.
You do know why husbands die before their wives, don't you?
Oh, I don't want to go there, Joe.
It's because we can.
Okay. How many times were you married, Joe?
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Mike.
I'm sorry, I cut you off. So, what is your
Alan, what was your question again?
Okay.
So if both people are on the reverse mortgage, and say they're both over 62, let's say the man has to go into assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
So the wife stays in the home.
Mm-hmm.
The government wouldn't be asking for money from the wife until she died, right? Or had to go in.
Well, assisted living doesn't count. It's got to be a nursing home.
Or nursing home, okay.
See, I don't know what the rules are for nursing homes, but I know as far as the reverse mortgage goes, is we wouldn't have any recourse against that surviving spouse. As long as that spouse is on the mortgage, then they can live there as long as they want.
What he's worrying about is, okay, this person goes in the nursing home, it costs $6,000 a month, mm-hmm. and the other spouse stays in the reverse mortgaged house.
Right.
There's no payments to be made. As long as she pays taxes and insurance, she can stay there until forever.
Right.
However, the way the nursing home works, if there's assets held by the person going in the nursing home, those are subject to removal before the government, Medicaid, will pay the bill for the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were saying this morning, let's say we took this reverse mortgage out, husband and wife, took $100,000 in cash. If you left that in the bank in the name of the person that goes in the nursing home, you can just kiss that $100,000 goodbye.
Yeah, but what happens if both?
If it's in both names, you have another problem because it still has one and it would be gone. Now, what can happen, that money can be put in just the other spouse's name and it's not subject to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this becomes an attorney.
But don't they have a look-back period, like a five-year look-back period?
Yes and no, but they also have a wrinkle in it based on a husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
You can move assets from husband to wife And put it into a five-year or longer annuity and pay all that money back to them, because that's not subject to that rule. But it's just it's a wrinkle that's still available. Not important that we know it, that you know it. Mm-hmm. You need to about get an attorney when this thing comes up, because I've never seen anybody try to do this on their own, and a couple of attorneys that I know that have done it successfully. But this is a rare situation. The key is this. I go in a nursing home today. My assets go with me, with the exception of my homestead. Homestead's exempt.
Well, that's what I was referring to, because it's important to protect the home as long as one spouse is still able to live there.
And that spouse is not liable for my debts going into the nursing home. So that house is hers. So,
well, there's so many reasons why you'd want a homestead. I mean, most people think of a homestead exemption that you get a break on your taxes, and that is important.
Yeah.
But it protects you in so many other ways against creditors. I mean, pretty much the only person it doesn't protect you against is the IRS.
That's about the only one. And when they said creditors, now don't take this lightly. Let's say you have a car accident and you've got $100,000 worth of liability insurance and you get sued for $1 million, that $100,000 is gone pretty quick. So then they're going to come and look at your other assets, but the homestead is exempt.
Yeah.
So,
and that's one of the reasons why Florida is the bankruptcy capital of the country.
Hey, look, there have been a few thieves that have come down to Florida, because the rule, you like that one, is 160 acres, no more than two residences on that 160 acres. That's homestead.
Yeah.
So they build two 10,000 square foot houses on this and then go bankrupt.
And have a breezeway in between them.
Yeah. I mean, it's just Florida rules, you know. So hey, you don't make up the rules. They are what they are. Can you imagine being back when they made up that rule? The guys are saying, how do we keep our property and go bankrupt?
Yeah.
Because whoever dreamt that up obviously had a mindset that was not necessarily going in the right direction.
I do think it's probably has to do with something about the, you know, this being the retiree capital of the world as well. So if you
also another little thing called a farm. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to protect the farm from the same kind of thing, you know. So 160 acre farm is not a monster farm, but it's a good size one. So. Right. You know, hey, you know, you're from Iowa, aren't you, Mike?
No. I'm from Philly. I don't know anything about Florida.
888-221-8990. Anyway, that's the whole concept of a reverse mortgage is, in fact, I had a client was supposed to call you last week. I don't know if they did or not. But
yeah, I did have a couple of callers from the radio station.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of them were actually not from the radio station, too, but that's okay.
Oh, they mentioned your name, so I assume that
there
they
you
called
go.
In
there you
the
go.
Show.
One going through trying to make sure they can eat, and I said, you have no problem eating. You have to call Mike.
Yeah.
888-221-8990. So we're going to talk a little bit about mortgages. We're going to talk a little bit about investments. We're going to talk a little bit about doing a breaststroke in the synagogue, because our Messianic Jew over here, right?
If you wish.
I wish. And I did not hurt myself skiing, but I did fall off the chairlift twice. Never have in my entire life fallen off a lift ever.
Some of those lifts are very high, too.
It wasn't. It was me. I'm daydreaming the first time for sure. Because all of a sudden, I'm on the ground. I wasn't paying any attention at all. And, of course, when the chair hit me in the head, that was kind of a clue. And the second time, I don't know. And I'm thinking, you know, Joe, this is the dumbest thing you've ever done. Well, not really the dumbest
thing. I've lost a ski on the lift, and that's a hardship.
That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Yeah, I did drop a glove one time, you know, because now
you can ski
one,
without a glove.
Yeah,
you're
it's one
hard
gloved.
To ski slalom.
Yeah, then you got to ski down where the chairlift comes up, where it's just not groomed snow, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's up to your knees. And
but I had four really, really good days of skiing, and I did all the greens, did some blues. No blacks, forget that. Anybody that's ever skied... greens are the easiest is the bunny slope. That's the easiest. Next easiest are the greens. Next one's upper blues. Next difficult is blacks. Double blacks, you jump off a cliff. Let's take a phone call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Can you turn your radio down?
You get a reverberation
on the radio when you can hear us, so we're a little time delayed, but now I can hear you.
Okay. My mother is She has a reverse mortgage, and she's still in the home, but I presently live with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the event, the first question is, in the event she should pass away, how much longer would I have to remain in the home?
Well, typically, you know, you can stretch it out to about a year. Most will give you about 6 months to sell that property and get it. Now, you can stay in that property as long as you want, and as long as you pay off that reverse mortgage. So one of the options would be, once you get possession of the house, you can refinance it, get a mortgage on it, and then pay that reverse mortgage off. You could stay there as long as you want.
If you have the ability to make the payments on the mortgage. So, you know, you have to have a job or income so you can prove you can get a new mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So you got two choices, or three. One, almost a year you can stay in the house, and then you have to leave. Two, you can sell the house. Whatever the profit is after you pay off the mortgage is yours, assuming your mom leaves you the house.
Yes, she did.
Okay. Okay, is she still alive?
Yes.
Okay, well, then tell her not to die for a while, because you want to stay there.
Okay.
You know, the most important thing is just stay in touch with the lender. Tell them what you're doing to rectify the situation.
If and when this happens.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it ahead of time.
No. When, you know, after your mother passes away, see, every year they're going to send you a notification. They're going to ask, hey, are you still living in the property? Well, they're sending your mother the notification.
Yeah.
And you have to respond, because otherwise they get the impression that you're no longer living in the property anymore. So, and then they'll start foreclosure proceedings. So most importantly, stay in touch with the lender. Tell them what you're doing to rectify the situation. And 9 times out of 10, they'll work with you.
Okay, and I heard you say something about, well, you're talking about spouses. When one goes into a nursing home, what happens if she goes into a nursing home?
Well, as long as it's not a permanent move, then you're okay. Because a lot of times people go into assisted living or nursing home for, you know, a limited period of time to recover. If that's the situation, as long as you come back to the house periodically, you're still technically living in the house.
So let's say she went in for 6 months into the nursing home, and then they said, okay, you're good enough to come home and you can take care of her. Well, that's fine. You know, that she didn't. The key is this. The rule is pretty clear, 1 year. More than 1 year, forget it. You know, you're not going to get more than a year.
Yeah, and typically, they, you know, right off the bat, they won't even offer you 1 year. They'll want that loan paid off rather quickly. But as long as you're taking steps to sell the property or to get your own mortgage, they'll typically work with you. They really don't want to foreclose on this property.
If and when the time comes, you just need to be open and tell the truth and talk to the lender and say, hey, here's my situation. I just need some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that fails, or if you need guidance again, you call us, you call Mike, because he can help you. That's what we do. We're here to help you.
You know, a good thing to do is to be proactive in a situation like that. You know, it might be a good idea for us to chat and put you in a situation where you would qualify for a mortgage down the road. So this way, you know, you're not faced with, you know, the tragedy of a death, and then have to worry about getting a mortgage at the same time.
So let me ask you a question quickly. Are you working?
Yes, I am.
So you're making a living, right? Making income?
Correct.
Okay. So what happens is, the best thing to do is, Mike will give you a call, not today, maybe tomorrow or the next day, and he'll talk to you on the phone, because it's easier one-on-one, and counsel you just to get you ready in case, well, we all know this is the norm. Mama's supposed to go before you. Even though that doesn't always work according to the plan, but bottom line is that's what should happen.
The number one question that you have to ask yourself is, do you want the house? I mean, if you don't want the house, then maybe the solution would be then just to sell the house at that time and take the equity out of it and purchase something that where you would rather live.
Yeah. See, one of the things that happens is, how long ago did your mom take the reverse mortgage out?
It's several years. I think what she owed is like in the 50s or 60s now.
So the house is probably worth over $100,000, right?
Well, I haven't had it appraised, so I'm not sure what the worth is.
But normally what happens is they would loan your mom 50 to 60% of the appraised value when she did it. So if she got $50,000 at that time, the house should be worth $100,000, and then the market right now is not getting worse. If anything, is getting better.
And it sounds like that she took the reverse mortgage out shortly after the recession hit. So when they appraised that house, the value was probably much less than what it is today.
So you got a couple of things, but what you do is this. Michael will give you a call in a day or so and then talk to you on the phone and help you, counsel you, so get you ready for this inevitability, and we're here to help.
Thank you so much.
You have a wonderful, thank you for the call.
You too, and you're welcome.
Bye.
You know, advanced planning is the key to this, because you don't want to be dealing with a tragedy and having to worry about where you're going to live and what you're going to do with the property. If you discuss this with her while you're still alive, come up with a game plan, what you really want. Because maybe it's not in her interest to live in that property anymore. Maybe it's too big. Maybe it's too much work.
See, let's face it, Mike. We take for granted house values, appraisals, and all this stuff that we do every day. It's easy stuff for us. But when you're just a regular person not doing that, she may not have any clue what that house is worth, which is not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, if mom took this out a year or three ago, the house value has probably gone up since then, and she may have gotten 50 to 60% of the value then, mm-hmm. based on 100. It might be worth 130 or 40 or 50 now.
You know, I still get these questions, these misconceptions with borrowers that, you know, when you take a reverse mortgage, you're signing it over to the bank, and that's not the truth at all.
It's the same as any other mortgage.
Yeah, it's the same as any other mortgage. That house does not belong to the bank until you want it to become part of the bank.
And the way that works is this: you walk away from it and move out. Bank says, okay, fine, you're not there anymore, we're gonna repossess it. But then bottom line is, if they sell it for more than is owed on the reverse mortgage, technically that goes back to the estate of the person that moved out, or the buyer. If that happens, that doesn't always happen. But
if it goes into foreclosure, you know what happens when it goes into foreclosure.
Yes,
there's
I know.
Attorney's fees, there's legal fees.
They name it.
I mean, it goes up. So it's better not to get in that scenario. You know, if you're posed with that situation, have a plan ready. Decide what you want to do with that property. And that way you can either refinance it, take over the property, keep it, whether you live in it or keep it as an investment property. That's your choice. But you should have a plan.
888-221-8990. And remember this, there's no such thing as a bad question. All of this stuff we take for granted, but I will tell you, I bump into a person last week that is not a young person, 70 years old, didn't understand reverse mortgage at all, and it's only been on the tube now for years. It's actually been available since Ronald Reagan was in as president. So
yeah.
It's a federal program. So the key is, you need to be educated to understand what it is and how it works. I was out, I remember talking to somebody, his neighbor had a reverse mortgage, and he's an old guy living in a house right next door, and he goes, she is being taken advantage of. And I said, how? She got a reverse mortgage. And I says, well, what's wrong with that? Well, they're going to take that house away from her. And I said, who told you that? Well, my other neighbor. And I said, wait a minute. You know, neighbors always know everything, right?
Yeah.
And the key was, it's your house. And as long as you live in it, you never have to make a payment, but you have to maintain it. And then when you leave the house, either you have to sell it, or it will be foreclosed.
Yeah. Matter of fact, there's a lot of new reverse mortgage programs. I'm doing one right now for a customer. It's not an FHA-insured reverse mortgage. It's a proprietary program from a bank,
right?
And they'll do jumbo financing. So the problem with FHA is every county has a maximum loan limit. It's determined by FHA, by the income in that county, by the sales prices in that county. But this program is a jumbo, which will allow you to far exceed the loan limits of FHA.
Nice.
So this house is probably worth well over $1 million. And we're getting the reverse mortgage done, and they'll probably net out about $200,000 or $300,000 more than the standard FHA.
Wow.
So there's a lot of programs out there now.
See, the whole concept, and I love the concept, because imagine just living in a house and never having to make a payment. You got to pay your taxes and insurance,
mm-hmm.
but no mortgage payment, no principal and interest. So people ask me what I think. I said, that's the greatest thing.
I'm just waiting till 62, and I'm getting one.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. Let's take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Mr. Martek. Thank you very much, sir, for taking my call, and thank you for the group there. I enjoy you guys. so much on Wednesdays, and thank you for what you do. It's just wonderful.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Where do I mail the check? This is my wife, right? No. Okay, so much for that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have a question regarding a 401k.
Okay.
I've retired from my company, and I was wondering, I have the option of leaving it or taking it, part of it or all of it.
Right.
And I was wondering about if I were to take part of it and put it into an insurance investment. I heard there's a gentleman that spoke with my husband, said that that is one of the best options if you wanted to grow your money. And I know you just talked about 401ks, and I missed it. I got the tail end, and I thought, I heard you say it was a wonderful show, you know, and I thought, oh, I missed it. And it was one that I had been waiting to hear.
Well, guess what?
And I'm so sorry that I'm coming back with the same type question.
I'm glad you're calling in, because this is a normal subject that comes up constantly. In fact, I was with a couple this morning.
Know.
Well, let's just talk. A 401k,
I heard you say that.
It's a retirement plan with your employer. And when you leave your employer, usually you've got a couple of choices. Some employers say you have to take the money. Some say you can leave it with us. And that's two choices. Now, when you take the money away, as long as you roll it, means you don't put it in your pocket. You move it into what's called an individual retirement account, IRA. You now are in control of it, which means you could put it in the bank, you can put it into an insurance product, you can put it into a brokerage firm, you can put parts of it in one, parts of it in another. And the reason that it's usually in your best interest to move it is that you have more options available. When you're with an employer-sponsored program, it's limited to what they have contracted with, and sometimes the options very often are limited to what you can do. So you have to become somewhat educated so that you can do what's right for you. So with that in mind, I was with a couple this morning, and they are not so young, but they're not so old, and they said, hey, you know, we really don't like risk, but of course we don't want to make 1% in the bank. What can we do? I said, well, let's talk about the insurance product that you just talked about. This is called a variable annuity. It's an annuity contract with an insurance company. Are you familiar with the word annuity?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know it's a contract with an insurance company, and it simply says if you don't touch the money, it's tax deferred. When you take it out, it's ordinary income. If you get sued, they can't take it away from you. And it's not subject to probate. So those are the basic rules. That's why we have it. Next, why do we have it with the insurance company? Well, in this variable contract, you can be in the market. Like, let's just say right now that you were in the S&P 500, which is Standard & Poor's 500, is 500 of America's biggest companies. In 2017, it went up 20%, 19 point something, almost 20%. Last year, it didn't go up at all. It was like a break even. This year, so far this year, it's up almost 10% from the low, the spot that hit last in December. Now, insurance company says, fine, we're invested in the market. But then the insurance company comes over on the side and says, I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. Depending on how old you are and which program you get into, they're going to say, we're going to guarantee you a 5% income on that money for the rest of your life. So let's say you had $100,000. That's $5,000 a year, and you can start taking that money out every month starting immediately. It also very often says we have a death benefit on here that says in case you die when the market's down, we're going to guarantee your family what you put in plus at least 5% a year or the highest quarterly anniversary. So what you're doing is you're protecting you in case you don't die, and you're protecting your family in case you die on the wrong day. And I joke about that, but the reality is this. Your family would rather have you die when the market's up. You have more money. So that's the insurance side. Now, nobody wants insurance, but let's go over to back to the investment. So if the investment keeps going up 10% a year, which is Allen and less since 1930, that's been about the average of the S&P.
10.8.
Okay, per year. And not every year does it do that. Some years it goes up 20, some years it goes down 20, but over a period of time, it's averaged a little over 10% a year. So you say, hey, but on the other hand, because I'm not so young anymore and I'm worried about what if I'm into one of those that it goes down for 3 or 4 years in a row, I want to make sure that my family's protected. There comes the death benefit. And I want to make sure that I have this income every month that I can count on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we put these two things together. Yeah. If it always goes up, let's say it goes up 10% a year for 10 years in a row, you say, who cares about insurance? Because we are now doing better than the insurance. That's what it's worth. And this allows you to take money out. Anyway, there's a lot of details, and it's not that easy just to get into it all on the phone, but this is something you need to learn to so that you understand it. Again, this became a monster subject this morning, and we spent quite a bit of time with this young couple. Young couple. Everybody's younger than me, Mike. You know, that's easy. Anyway, so the best thing to do, where do you live?
Stewart.
Good. That's nice and handy, you know. Anyway, yeah, well, you know, that's better than Afghanistan. That's a long drive, you know. So anyway, what I'm saying, what I can do is I can give you a call or have my office call you, and we'll try to set up a time where we can meet and I can answer your questions and give you information to study so you can make an intelligent decision. Does that sound okay?
Thank you so much, yes. I appreciate it so much.
Yep. And that way you'll learn it and you'll get it, you know, right from the horse's mouth. Do I look like a horse, Mike? You know, don't say that. Yes.
With your beard like that.
With the beard like this. My beard is very neatly cropped, you know. We got a trim Pastor Dave and Tom.
I'm the only one without a beard here.
Yeah, you know what? Have you met Alan Love, our Messianic Jew? No?
The one from Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you met him?
We're from Wisconsin, too, and when you said that early on, I started smiling. I said, oh, that's so nice to hear.
Well, you know,
I have not met him.
Well, let me tell you what. I call him, the legal label for him is Messianic Jew, but I just call him a messy Jew because, you know, he looks like Methuselah.
Alan,
I love you. Don't worry.
I know you do.
I love the Jews. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. And you know, this is what our mission is to do here, is to help people and get them on the right track and make sure you make intelligent decisions.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm going to have my office give you a call, and we'll just take it one step at a time.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate all of you so very, very much.
Thank you.
And just keep doing what you're doing. You're welcome.
Yes, boss. Bye.
Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too. Bye.
And it was nice to hear from a cheesehead.
Thank goodness she wasn't from Alabama. Huh? We'd had to pick on her.
You just talked about the variable annuity.
Right.
And why don't we segue into the rule of 72? Because it's really a great rule that people can get a handle on their future value of money.
You know the rule of 72, Dave?
Well, I think Alan brought it up because he is 72.
That is correct.
Is that all you are?
Yeah.
You look much older.
He looks experienced.
Oh, that's mileage we're looking by here. Okay.
The tread is wearing.
We just read a story about Wobbly.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, you look like a retread sometimes.
No, but the rule of 72 is really, really a very, very easy rule, but it's a helpful rule. If you have an interest rate, let's say 6%, and you divide that into 72, that's 12. That means that at 6% interest, your money will approximately double in 12 years. If the interest rate is 9%, you divide that into 72, the answer is 8. That means your money will double in approximately 8 years. And if you have an interest rate of 4%, dividing that into 72, that means your interest rate will double in approximately 18 years.
So the key thing we're talking, rule of 72, very simply, divide the interest rate into 72.
Right.
That equals the number of years to double your money.
So if we look at the stock market having a 10% return over the last 50 years, that means that if you had invested in like the S&P fund, approximately your money would be doubling every 7.25 years. So if you're a person of 30 years old and you have $20,000 in the bank, you can easily figure that every 7 years you should be able to have double that amount
of money.
So
how much would you have when you're 60?
Well, you just take 7 years.
Come on. I'm looking for the answer.
If you start at 30 and you have $20,000 and you get a 10% return, then you're going to have $40,000 at 27. You're going to have $80,000 at 37. You're going to have $80,000 at 44. You're going to have $160,000 at 51. You're going to have $320,000 at 58. And at 65, which was my retirement age, you'll have $640,000.
Can you loan me some money, Alan?
I wasn't smart enough when I was 30 to follow the rule of 72.
You know, it's just that simple. You know, and it's an amazing thing. Now, if you back up, and I was talking to Vince about this, where if you took a grandchild when they're born and put in, say, $5,000 or $7,000 or $10,000 into an account for that grandchild when they're born, and had it structured in a trust where they could not touch it until retirement, they'd be worth over $1 million. I mean, it's just this power of 72 doubling that money every so many years, and it keeps going up. So it's,
but over a lifetime, then you'll need $2 million.
But on the other hand, if it's a woman, you might need $4 million.
Well, people have said that the best thing a grandparent can do when a child is born, instead of buying them all these little presents and things like that, put $2,000 in an investment like an S&P fund that will grow at about 10% a year. Well, and don't even make another payment into that $2,000. And when that child is 65, he'll have about $760,000.
I like that kid. You know, the whole concept is pretty simple. But, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. If we did the right things, it's good. But the key thing with money for most people, one, the older you get, the more afraid you are of losing money. So you want to get it into something as secure as humanly possible. But then you start looking at making 1 or 2% on it and just say, hey, I can't live on that. If you took, let's say, $1 million you've got saved, which is a fortune, and you get 2%, that's $20,000 a year. Well, guess what? It's hard to live on $20,000 a year.
Yeah, but you had...
you have Social Security and your pension.
Okay, now add your Social Security together, you're still... But if you had 5% on that on $1 million, you got $50,000.
But it's not difficult to get 5% in a reasonably secure investment.
There you go. So there comes where this variable annuity contract allows you to have the protection of the insurance company. Now my compliance people say I'm supposed to let you know you need to know the claims paying ability of the insurance company, which bottom line is all of us deal with only the top-rated companies, period, so that we never want to have an aggravation for anybody. But this has been going on for years and years and years and years, so the whole object of insurance, and Mike, you know, we got to have insurance on mortgages, we've got insurance on houses, mm-hmm. we've got insurance on cars, our life, our health.
Well, how about for a customer who doesn't want to lock it up into a long-term investment like that? Is there a better option for maybe a shorter term?
Well, think about this now, too. That isn't necessarily a long term, because most of these variable annuities say they have, you can withdraw all the earnings every year, or at least 10% per year, no penalty. Then they have a 7-year penalty phase, because all your work goes to work for you the first day. They hold nothing out for commissions, fees, or expenses, which of course there are commissions, fees, and expenses, so they want you to stick around for a while so they can make money. Mm-hmm. So after 7 years, there's no penalty anymore. Now, short term money, if somebody says 1 year, I say keep it in the bank. Just that simple.
But how about some of these other investments that you had mentioned in the past, like exchange-traded debts?
Well, let's talk about more than debt today, where I am now following on a daily basis mortgage REITs, REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that are paying between 10 and 12% interest, and they pay quarterly. Now, that's a nice return all by itself.
That's very nice.
However, what happens is this. When you look at a roller coaster, you ever heard buy low, sell high?
Oh, yeah.
Buy low, sell high? Well, a lot of people don't do that, but what happens is when they're going to pay the interest, let's say it's today, just before they pay the interest, everybody wants to own that because sometimes you only have to own it for 2 weeks, and yet you collect 3 months' worth of interest. I've often said this is like being Catholic. Don't ask questions. You just are one. So they are the rules. Well, people start buying like crazy, so the value of that share will very often go up considerably. Last month, had a client made 34% in one quarter. We hit it just perfect. Got him at the bottom, sold it before it paid the interest.
So he made money without even collecting the interest.
What would you rather have, 2% or 34? That was pretty simple. So I've got a number of people, and a lot of people are very conservative, and they may go into the insurance product for very conservative, but then they say, hey, let's take a certain percentage and put it over here. Mm-hmm. Now, these are also 100% liquid, meaning I can buy it today and sell it today. This is important, very important, because liquidity, very oftentimes people will buy an investment that they cannot sell easily. These things are traded on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, the only ones I deal with. So they're 100% liquid. Why is that important? Well, today real estate's very good, and it probably will be for a good period of time. How long, we don't know. But the fact is, if all of a sudden interest rates start to go up around 7 or 8 or 10%, real estate market will crash.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to get out before that happens. There's always other things to go into, but it's always called make hay while the sun shines. You are a farmer, right, Mike?
We already discussed that, Jeff. Not much of a farmer.
Deb from a cell phone is just 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So lots and lots of different investments around. The debt instruments you're talking about are paying 5 and 6%, and they continue to pay their 5 or 6%, but they don't change much in value. The bottom line is, you don't have that opportunity to buy them and sell them on the dips because there's not that big a spread. But the ones that have that big spread offer a different type of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to understand it.
But I'm sure that you're giving up a little bit of risk as well.
Well, the whole concept is liquidity. If it's 100% liquid, and if you watch it, now, let me tell you something. People were asking me today, Joe, where do you have your money? I said, well, quite honestly, I've got it in these REITs because I like knowing I'm going to make 10 to 12, but every once in a while, if I make 20 or 25 in a year on the same thing, you know, I'm an old guy. I may not live that long, and I've got expensive wives.
Ex-wives. And they still know where you live.
And that's even worse. And then I got a bunch of kids, and I keep moving and changing locks, but they find me.
Well, you know, Joe, you had hit on rates, and then, you know, in my business, it's very important to monitor these rates, and interest rates for mortgages actually have come down about 0.5% over the last couple of months.
Interesting, isn't it? How this, you know, we watch it on a daily basis, Mike and I and Alan, and there's no really rhyme or reason for how these things operate that I can ever figure out. But all of a sudden, remember, it was an inverted yield curve and panic was hitting, and then 2 weeks later, there was no inverted yield curve. You know?
Yeah, we were real close there.
Yeah. Take another call here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. I heard you talking about the reverse mortgage. Now, how long would you have to own a house before you could do a reverse mortgage?
About an hour.
Well, actually, you can use a reverse mortgage to actually purchase the property. So if you're thinking about purchasing a property, you can put a reverse mortgage on that immediately the day you close. So you don't have to own it actually at all.
Well, that's wonderful. That's really good.
Yep.
So, the concept of buying it, which I love that concept. Let's say you had $100,000 cash and you wanted to buy a $200,000 house. You put your $100,000 in, reverse mortgage gives you the other $100,000, and you never make a payment.
I like that very, very much. I never thought of that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
It's not as popular to use this for a purchase, but it is available.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most people don't think about it, but like you just said, how long do you have to own it? Yeah, like 1 minute.
No, that's good, because I have, I actually think in my case, it would really be a good idea, because I recently, my mom passed a few months back, so... You know, I inherited, like, actually, it was like, I think I have $100,000 cash, and I've been looking to purchase a house, but, you know, you also don't want to tie up all your money, mm-hmm. you know, but I also, she also had an annuity, so I had to cash in the annuity, so I'm getting that now, also, monthly. You
well,
know, so
sure.
that's a little bit more, you know, that's a little more income.
Gives you more
too.
Income.
So, yeah,
We're running out of time on the show today because Pastor Dave is flashing cards at us saying, Joe, you need to shut up.
Okay.
We're talking so much. Anyway,
all right.
No, but here's what we're going to do. You left your name and number with Pastor Tom when you called in, right?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Mike will give you a call tomorrow or the next day and counsel you on the phone and see if it can make it work for you.
Thank you so much.
Yep, that's exactly what we do. You have a wonderful day, and thank you for calling.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's sounds perfect, doesn't it?
I love reverse mortgages. They're so versatile. You can use them in so many different ways. You know, even if you have a large retirement nest egg set aside, you might want to use the reverse mortgage first because that's all tax-free income.
See, and the other side of the coin is you don't have to make a payment. People say, well, gee, I need to get some cash out to help me live. So they do a second mortgage or a new refi. Well, guess what? You got to make a payment on that. So now you're giving it all back over a period of time. What if you have a reverse? You don't have to pay it back.
Exactly. And the proceeds that you receive are tax free. So if you're still, even if you're over 62, you're still working, you don't want to take some money out to supplement your income from your retirement, because that would then be a taxable event.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful program.
Absolutely. 888-221-8990. We're probably out. We got 1 minute left. Pastor Dave's flashing a card at us. You know, what would you do, Dave, if you didn't have those cards?
I'd be yelling over the air.
Okay, well, I'm good. I feel better. 888-221-8990. You can call the radio station anytime. Pastor Dave, Tom, or Jonathan will take your name and number and have us call you back. And we really appreciate you listening. And anybody that we can help, that's what our mission here is to do, is to try to get people answer the questions that are necessary, and we've got enough local professionals. We've got, including Alan, over 200 years of combined experience. Now, he alone has about 100.
And I'll give Pastor Dave a final message. Please don't yell over the air. We don't want to get in trouble with modulation levels with the FCC, okay?
Oh, okay. I got it. Thank
that?
You, Alan.
Modulation levels. When's the last time you heard modulation?
We'll talk about that next week.
Is that a segue? Until next week, we want to thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed week.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772 772- 678-7725.